Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570. We are Towson, Baltimore's leader of all things Towson this week. We're hoping Towson is leading the CAA. We are going to be over at the CVP on Friday, hopefully, with a March Madness good news final. But we're going to be doing the show either way. We're going to be at CVP doing the Crab Cake Tour. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have some scratch off some. I have a few lucky magic eight balls still left to scratch off. I think I have them laying around here. I do, right on set, right on cue. There they are. Just scratch it. We haven't had lucky magic anything here on the baseball side. Luke and I would be sunning ourselves right now somewhere west of Tampa, let's say Dunedin or Clearwater, someplace like that. But because of the tampering period, Luke being the responsible sports reporter that he, the credentialed responsible sports reporter, and the Pro Football Writers Association, blah, 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 something, something, the next couple of days that we're not at spring training, but we do have our passports ready to be stamped at Niagara Falls and the Peace Bridge. Peace Bridge. We'll be doing opening day in Toronto. It's 2 weeks from now, Luke. My God, it's March. I'm looking out. It's still dark out at 8 o'clock in the morning. How are you? How was your baseball weekend? I know, like, I offered to take you to Florida for free and go to Disney World, see your buddies, and you turned it down. And you love baseball, but like, you don't even love spring training baseball because like, this stuff happens with Grayson Rodriguez and the Andrew Kittredge guy.
Can I say that my enthusiasm at this point, what was Grayson Rodriguez's description initially? Feels pretty sluggish. No, I mean, first, to be clear, I love spring training baseball. It's just I didn't want to be glued to my phone sending out WNST Baltimore positive text alerts because the Ravens were signing this guy or this
Well, you
guy was
knew
signing
that
with
the
another.
news was going to happen on Saturday if we decided to not do the trip, right?
Right. Yeah, right.
Now we
Although
could
the.
just go. Let's just go now, you know?
Well, now the more pressing issue might be who can the Orioles add to their pitching staff at this point, but
Did you
it's
expect
not.
to see Rodriguez on opening day in Toronto? Was that you? That was your expectation,
No,
right?
no.
You expected Eflin?
I think Eflin was going to be the guy. I think
Okay.
because of experience, being the veteran guy. I mean, that's typically how it goes. I figured Eflin in the opener and Grayson Rodriguez in game two. But I thought, hey, that doesn't mean that Grayson Rodriguez wouldn't start game one in October if everything goes to plan. Now it's a case of you're hoping he's starting games, period, right? And let's be clear, I don't want to sound the alarm that he's doomed, but let's look at the progression that we've seen over the last 5 to 6 days. He starts out making having an outing where his velocity's down a little bit. He says he feels sluggish. Then the following day, he's dealing with some soreness in his triceps. And then, you know, they and let's be clear for anyone who's watching or anyone who understands the human body, the tricep is here, and I'm pointing to underneath my upper arm. That is connected to the elbow, right? So when you hear them start talking about the elbow, that doesn't automatically mean that it's the ulnar collateral ligament. Now, this could end up being that ultimately when it's all said and done. And oh, by the way, Gerrit Cole, second straight year for the Yankees, elbow. And there's even reports now coming out of the weekend that he's, you know, he could be heading towards Tommy John surgery. So every team deals with this. But at the very least, we know he's shut down for the next week to 10 days. He had a cortisone shot to try to clear up some inflammation in his elbow. You hope that that inflammation isn't hiding a, not hiding, but masking a greater issue at work here, which would be something related to the UCL, which would be a Tommy John surgery scenario. You're hoping that the cortisone clears things up. He was dealing with a little bit of, you know, what you would consider tennis elbow or some, you know, just some tendonitis. And you hope that he can start throwing again in a week and a half. And yeah, he's not going to be ready for opening day. We know that at this point in time. I mean, they've already confirmed that, but there's still a best case scenario where he's able to pitch later in April, right? And he's okay. But we also know how these things can go. And even if it's not a Tommy John surgery scenario, it can be a more extended absence. And what does that mean? So, if you're Mike Elias, look, you can't just force a trade for a number one or a number two, especially the timing of mid-March makes things weird on the front of one, are guys available now that might have been available 6 weeks ago, but teams are saying, hey, we're going to go into the season and see how it plays out. And two, even if you sign a pitcher like a Kyle Gibson or a Lance Lynn or someone of that nature who's still available, what's their timetable for being ready? So, this isn't ideal. I don't want to sit here and try to say that everything's fine. I don't want to say everything's doomed either, but it's not ideal. It's not what you wanted. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez, we've talked about this. The moves they made with their starting rotation were more filling out the back half of the rotation. Grayson Rodriguez was someone they were counting on to give them upside and to hopefully take the next step. And instead, this is going to be the third time in 4 years that he's not available for the bulk, the full season. So, what you do in the meantime remains to be seen. I think, there was even a report from The Athletic late Sunday night that there are lots of teams scrambling right now. The Yankees, I mean, Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil not going to be ready for opening day. Kirby out in Seattle, really accomplished starting pitcher. He's sidelined right now. So teams deal with this and teams look for alternatives, but what's the reality of that? For me, I look at Andrew Kittredge and the bullpen right now, knowing that Felix Bautista isn't going to be full throttle on opening day in the sense that you're letting him throw multiple innings or back-to-back days or pushing him the way that you would have 2 years ago before the injury. And also understanding Kittredge now out until probably June at the earliest, with this knee injury. I mean, they've said he's going to miss a couple months at the very least.
That's
And you'll be
kind of
able.
unbelievable, right? Like,
Yeah.
and again, this speaks to, can they be a better team in October than they're going to be in April or May? Because in April and May, as I see it, I don't say they're not going to be a great team or whatever with the pitching. I don't think you're going to be wowed by the rotation. I don't think you're going to be
No.
wowed by the pitching in general early here. You better hope Felix Bautista's not throwing 103 on April 15th and his arm's falling off in June too. So, I mean,
Yeah.
there's just so many pieces of this, and I think I'm starting to get scarred as a modern baseball fan. I keep thinking about your old man and my old man if they came back today, and we'd say, "Yeah, baseball's great. They fixed it. They fixed the pace of play. They screwed around with these shifts and stuff, and the analytics that you love, Pop. It was great and all that, but like, all their arms are falling
Yeah.
off. Like
Yeah.
literally. I mean, my dad didn't think about Rorick Harrison and Wayne Garland and Jim Palmer and Mike Flanagan's arm falling off in 1976. You know what I mean? Like, that just wasn't the way we were built as fans. And this is, it's pandemic-y for pitching and baseball, I think. And they better figure this out for the kids, too.
Yeah, I mean it's and I don't want to get too you and I have gotten into the weeds on
Oh
this
my God,
topic
we
a
go
lot.
hours on this
Right.
dude.
So
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to dwell on
but
that
this
too
kid,
much.
Grayson Rodriguez, is, we
Yeah.
think he's Jim Palmer. He might be Steve Dalkowski at this
Yeah,
point. I mean, he, yeah.
and you just made the example. Look, it's not as though there weren't pitchers who had injuries 40 or 50 or 60 years ago. I mean, go look at Jim Palmer back in the late 60s. I mean, he missed some substantial time, when you start getting into what he did in 66, and going up against Sandy Koufax in the World Series. Go look at 67, 68, 69, until he was finally healthy and became Jim Palmer. It's not as though that didn't exist, but it's just becoming so frequent. It's becoming, we've talked about it with Tommy John. It's frustrating on that front. But that's another discussion that you and I aren't going to solve that in one discussion or even 10 discussions. I mean, that absolutely, it's an epidemic and it's nothing new, but it's not getting any better. But that's where I look at the Orioles right now. Look, can they slot Cade Povich or Albert Suarez into the number five spot and their rotation still be very competitive and good enough for them to stay in the hunt and win games? And even if they're not leading the division, be right in the thick of the wild card race. Yeah, that's not my major concern for April and May and June, right? Now, October, that's a totally different animal, right? And it was even when Grayson Rodriguez was healthy. But what I do look at now, knowing that you gave Andrew Kittredge $10 million to be a mainstay in seventh, eighth, and maybe even occasionally the ninth inning, one of those high leverage guys for you, and knowing that he's out of the equation now until probably June at the earliest, you look at the fact that, and You know me, Nestor. I'm a Sir Anthony Dominguez guy. His spring numbers are brutal. Like, he's given up, I think, in three outings, I believe he's given up four home runs already. I mean, this is, it's not great. And I don't want to convict him based off of that, but it's worrisome. So, and I know some people, because he got off to a decent start, Brian Baker was good his first, he gave up three homers on Sunday. I mean, I'm not going into the season saying I'm okay with giving Brian Baker one of my roster spots. Now, if it has to end up being that way, because, if someone else, heaven forbid, someone else gets hurt, so be it. But I mentioned a name to you, and I'm going to mention it again, because I think one area where I'd like to see the Orioles fortify, and they can do it right now because it's easier to do this than to go out and acquire a number one or a number two starter right now, is go add another reliever, because Kittredge was clearly someone you identified that you were going to get, that you gave $10 million to. He was really important. So where are you replacing that, especially if Dominguez has been iffy? Felix Batista is going to have to be treated, I don't want to say with kid gloves. I don't know. That might be too over the top, but you're clearly going to be careful with
You're not
him
going to give him
early
a
in the
lot of
season.
innings.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to pitch him back to back. You're not going to let him throw two innings. And look,
I
that
don't think he's the guy walking off the hill, on opening day 2 weeks from Thursday. You and I are in Toronto in the ninth inning of a 3-2 game.
I mean,
I
it
don't
all
think he's the guy
depends.
coming in to close that game.
It all depends. But even if he is, if he does, if you have another game Friday night that's just like that, he's not pitching that one.
Well, it doesn't
So,
feel like Dominguez either.
right. So that's my thing. David Robertson's out there. You can even look at someone like Joe Kelly, who did not have a great year last year, but still throws hard. Someone who's pitched in the postseason a lot. My point is, there are options in the bullpen that are in relief that you can go out and sign someone right now. Now, David Robertson, he's older, but go look at his numbers at Texas. He had a good year. He was very good last year. So whatever that number is, and this is where you hope that ownership and David Rubenstein have made comments at face value saying that, hey, we're here to financially support. To me, you have a need that has surfaced with your bullpen, given the Kittredge injury, given where they are with Batista right now. And again, I'm not sounding the alarm. It's just reality with him coming back from Tommy John surgery. And considering Sir Anthony Dominguez has been shaky at best. And again, that's, I like Dominguez. I've included him as someone that can be a high leverage guy for you. And he was for most of the last 2 months, last season when they acquired him. But when you consider the state of those individuals, you could use a David Robertson. You could use someone like that who could come in and be a real piece for you, and not say, well, we do have Brian Baker and he's out of option. No, that's a place, that's a placeholder. That's a hope for the best kind of scenario. Nothing against Brian Baker. He has good stuff, but he's had 3 years to solidify his place in this bullpen, and he hasn't done it. So that's where I look at this and say, yeah, in a big picture sense, not knowing what's going to happen with Grayson Rodriguez, they absolutely are going to need to add at least one more starting pitcher at some point in time. But I'm not as enthusiastic about just saying, okay, well, bring in Kyle Gibson, bring in Lance Lynn. And yeah, they could do that. And they may end up doing that because they clearly know a little bit more of where they are with Grayson Rodriguez than the outside world knows right now. But in terms of upside, in terms of taking the ball for game one or game two of a playoff series, it's not Kyle Gibson or Lance Lynn at this stage of their careers. So that's where I look at this thing and say, I think I can live with the thought of holding off on adding a starting pitcher, but to me, fortify that bullpen right now, because there are a couple options there that make sense that you can go out. You can sign David Robertson today, right? You could sign him as you and I are talking, and that's automatically someone that you can then slot into, can close a few game, close a few games for you on occasion and pitch in the seventh or eighth inning. He can kind of replace Kittredge for the time being. And then if Kittredge comes back in June, then hey, great. You've got an extra high leverage guy. So I almost feel, just in terms of, and it's not that the starter thing isn't important, because it very much is, but that's way more difficult to just snap your fingers and produce a number one or number two starter compared to if you sign a David Robertson you can slot him somewhere into the back end of your bullpen and feel relatively confident in the way that, you're not 100% confident in anyone in terms of health and all of that. But, I feel with Kittredge, it's known that he's going to be out for quite a while. So go fortify the bullpen, go add another legit high leverage arm into the equation, or, you can make a trade for that guy, I mean, and we've seen that. I mean, that's where, if you ask me to rank those two things, I'd like to see them add a reliever yesterday at this point in time, while fully acknowledging, yes, they need another starter in a big picture sense. We were saying that before Grayson Rodriguez. So not knowing what's going to happen with him right now, again, I don't think you just give up your entire farm system for Dylan Cease necessarily. And I don't know if the Padres even want to trade him right now. The sentiment is they want to go into the season and see what their roster and what their club looks like at this point in time. But in the meantime, there are a couple available relievers that you can go sign and not have to give up a prospect for that I'd really like to see them take a look and try to do that. And, you kind of patch the back end of the rotation together right now. And I will say this, because this has taken such a negative shift in terms of their pitching. Sagano looked great on Sunday from, go look at the numbers. He's striking people out and freezing people and has, he hasn't given up a run yet. That's been good. Charlie Morton's looked good. So it's not a case where they need to completely full blown 100% panic. But like I said, when you look at the bullpen right now without Kittredge and with some of the other question marks, I'd feel a lot better if we were sending out the WNST Baltimore positive text alert that the Orioles have signed someone like David Robertson, who, isn't the guy that he was a decade ago, but this was still quite effective for the Texas Rangers last year. And I think would be a really nice piece to slot in there, knowing you're not going to have Kittredge until the summer.
If they do that, you'll get it first on the WNST text service. You can join that by texting 410-821-WNST. That's for the old kids, 9678. Text join or WNST. All the information's up on the website. You can send me an email. I'm glad to send you over to get you onto the text service because many, many folks have been on it for 2 decades. Couple directions to go here in the totality of the pitching and how many innings they need. And bullpen versus starting, which is a lot different than it used to be, and how the game is played. October is different than March 26th or 27th or whatever, right? So I am as I get older, and as a baseball fan, I am much more mellow than screamers are on Twitter, but or X, whatever this fascist is calling it this week, that we probably shouldn't be supporting that thing anyway. But at this point. My concern on the pitching, as I really look at it and I go through names, is are they any better than they were when they didn't score any runs last October 3rd and 4th, right? Like, I'm looking at it and saying they spent a lot of money and they've got Sugano and they've invested in Charlie Morton, whatever 138 innings of that they're going to get, and whatever 4 1/3 of sort of leaky fifth starter sort of what they're going to get, right? And they're going to be in games when the fourth inning where they're going to be winning 4-3 or losing 4-3, when their starters leave games. And then they're going to come in and it's either going to be kerosene or a fire hose. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be a litany of two or three or four guys every night that are going to be coming in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. Nobody's picking up 2 2/3 innings of relief. There's none of that anymore. So I just look at the amount of arms and the Sir Anthony Dominguez that they didn't even have on the team in July of last year, guys that they fortified, the Marlins deal they did for Rodgers and, these other guys they have. I'm with you, man. They've spent a lot of money, and this is where I'm going to get a little snippy with Mr. Rubenstein versus Mr. Angelos. You just made a 14-minute case to go give semi washed up pitcher, you don't really know where the edge is. And we dealt with the Kimbrel last year, good year last year in Texas. How much money do you want to give him and get your, This is on behalf of your father and my father, the nerds. Get your analytics out on how many innings we're going to get out of that pitcher, what the innings are going to look like, what the leverage is going to look like out of Robertson or whomever. Whomever it is, how much money are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, he made $10 million last year, looking at it. There was a contract option that Texas turned down that I think was a 1.5 buyout. So is it 10 million like it was for Kittredge? I mean, maybe not. I mean,
He's eight.
David Robertson's going to be 40, right? In fact, he'll be 40 in April.
I
So
call him
you're,
semi-washed up. I'm 56
I
and
mean,
I
he's
don't
not.
feel washed
I
up,
mean, he's
so.
not washed up. I mean, he had a 3 ERA last year. I mean, this wasn't Craig Kimbrell last year. This
Dude,
was
hey,
a
look, dude, better to have him than not have him.
D
We
that's
just
my
spent an
point.
hour talking about the salary cap and Ronnie Stanley and how it fits under the cap. And ain't none of this. Now it's
Yeah.
Mr.
I mean, it's
Moneybags.
a 1 year deal.
Like
It's going to be a
literally,
1 year
this is
deal.
about David Rubenstein and Michael Arougheti saying we're going to take our payroll from where are we, 145, 150, whatever it is, to the next level, and it's going to be a money pit. And then we're going to need more money in July because we're going to onboard whatever Scherzer, whatever thing's out there that's going to be a $15 million thing with a $20 million poison pill for next, the Eflin deal. You know, they're going to be adding, never subtracting salary. That's the new world. And Rubenstein doesn't even know anything about baseball. The more I talk to people, the more I realize, like, you're knocking on Uncle David's door, and he doesn't even know anything about baseball. Like, not even enough to be conversational. Like, he could not come on this show with you and me and talk baseball. He would embarrass himself. So he can't. So therefore, the decision goes to him, and it's, hey, Papa, give me $8.5 million for Robert. Give me $11 million. Give me $4 million. Give me $12 million. We need this many million. We got, you know, like wherever all that is for Katie Griggs and Mike Elias trying to explain this to an owner that runs around like he's a baseball guy and doesn't know much about baseball, and it's going to his desk as to whether we're going to be a 180, a 150, a 140, a 210, wherever that's going to be, because there's not any sales that support this, Luke. I run a business. I run one for 33 years. Katie Griggs cannot sit over there adding up Legg Mason's money and T. Rowe's money and just thinking there's money, especially when the federal government is destroying our state right now, destroying our state right now, these fascists down in D.C. So it does all run down that there's going to be less disposable income in Baltimore to be running around for baseball games this summer at whatever the price point's going to be. So I don't know what kind of business they're trying to run, and I'm trying to figure all this out. Because, dude, you just did a 15-minute soliloquy on signing a washed-up pitcher for a lot of money that I've been on the air here 34 years now, 34 spring trainings. Ain't been a lot of years where washed-up spring training pitchers for $10 million have ever been discussed here in the presence of the Angelos family. So no, you're asking for something that in football we can't do because we have a cap. In baseball we can do, but there's 10,000 empty seats in the upper deck, and beers are $5, and Masson's falling apart, and Moneybags is in on this, but he doesn't understand baseball at all. Like he just doesn't. He just doesn't. Like, he takes nice selfies. He's a nice man running around. But this is real serious money that they're going to be adding that you, as a fan, you, as a reporter, you, as a baseball guy, expect that they should want to win. And there's a point where, like, how many broken relief pitchers are we going to see? We had that Kimbrel guy last year. And especially if I didn't understand it, if I was just a billionaire, that explain, this is $9 million. That's a lot of money. What are we doing? And how he's going to pitch, what, 48 innings? How many? What are we going to get out
Well,
of him?
should pitch more than that. Well, first of all, I'd say he's not washed up. He had a 3 ERA last year. He had a 3.03 ERA 2 years ago. He had a 2.7 ERA in 2022. He's not washed up.
I
Now
hope he
he's gonna be
holds the ball
40.
in game seven and he's the guy that's jumping up
Sure.
and down on the mat. Like,
And
I'm
look,
with you, dude. I
maybe the
want him to
number's not
win.
10. I mean, maybe it's 8. Maybe it's 7 with some incentives. Maybe you give him maybe there's a deal to be made that it's 6 and there's a vesting option for next year. If he does give you 70 innings, he's got a contract for next year.
But Luke,
I
this
mean,
is a different kind of business we're talking about, where you're talking about just giving away six, eight, $10 million. It's hard for them to make $10 million. Let me tell you that. They go out on the street with their sales packages. This money just doesn't fall off trees from sponsors. It's certainly not falling off trees from Middle River fans running down there and buying $94 club seats on Tuesday nights against the Twins. Like the revenue streams they have are limited. These guys are billionaires. Maybe they just don't care. But I know this, they don't necessarily love baseball so much that they understand baseball enough for you to understand what a bullpen is and what relief pitching is and the value. That's for Elias to say that. But this is where these neophytes come into this. They paid $1.8 billion. They're getting all this money from the state, and they're worried about how to make money, make money, make money, make money. You're a nerd like me, wanting to, and like all the fans, how are we going to win? Who's going to pitch? And how much does it cost? And can Uncle David afford it? Well, of course he can afford it. He's a
Sure.
billionaire, right? So, like, but what are they going to put in? And this is where I will just stop everything on all the dreamy pie baseball stuff and say, these are cutthroat businessmen who have made billions of dollars by squeezing everything and everybody, including nursing homes, graveyards, all sorts of things, to make money. And they're now into this thing to be heroes. And we're at a very tender point where they can really win the World Series. Like, they've inherited a team that's better than most of the crap we've seen around here the last 34 years on my watch, at least on radio. And there's an expectation now, not only among you and every fan and everyone listening to our voices, but there's this expectation that we're unencumbered by the ghost of Mr. Angelos, right? I might even get my press pass back. So that we're unencumbered by the ghost of Peter Angelos. Everything you're asking for that you asked for in the first 15 minutes of this to heal the bullpen and fix things is going to cost money that before Peter died a year ago next week, we never talked about any of this. We were never good enough to talk about being one relief pitcher, one 40-year-old, not washed up. I'm being facetious.
Sure.
I'm just being tough guy here and saying, where are you going? Because you're asking for things this franchise has never done in a payroll way where we're asking them to do things they've never done before. We all want Henderson signed, Westberg. We wanted to sign Rutschman last week. The minute that Holiday's hitting 320 this year, we're going to want to give him $400 million and extend. Like, there's all of that for fans. And then there's the reality of who's selling the tickets? How much are the tickets? Where's the money coming from? Where's my press pass? Because I'm not giving him any money until I get my press pass back. I'm just not. I'm already 30 grand upside down from Greg Bader from 22 years ago. So I'm not, like, literally, they need to make money, figure out streaming, all these important things. But they got guys like you saying, you want to do something, win a World Series, and you can't win a World Series without a bullpen. And in order to get a bullpen, it's going to cost X millions. And then on top of that, I've been saying this for months. My big belief is they can't win as they're constructed right now. They cannot win the World Series with what they have, especially with Kittredge not pitching till June. Like, they no Rodriguez. They're not a World Series contender with this pitching staff right now. They're going to need to do something, and that's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, not just a player or two. This is going to be an expensive proposition if they want to keep up with the Joneses, the Adam Joneses, who's got a business card now. I like that. But this is going to be expensive, man. Every time somebody gets hurt, you and I are going to run to the microphone, and Lock and Four is going to run to Twitter and call them incompetent, and BAL is going to back up anything they do. Brett Hollander is going to be whatever they say is the greatest thing ever. Tom Davis is going in the Hall of Fame now for doing that for 30 years. Like, I'm just saying, we're going to sit here and say, are they good enough to win the World Series? How much more money is it going to take? Because that's really what it's going to come down to for them. That and prospects, which they have and
Yeah.
they've never had before. But they're in a really unique position. But this is not going to be cheap.
I mean, it's not going to be, but I mean, if you can't sign David Robertson for whatever it's going to cost, I mean, you're not signing, he's not signing a 4-year deal or anything like that. I mean, if you can't do that, then there is no hope,
We
right?
gave
I
that
mean,
guy 15, that guy 17, that guy
but
18.
if you can't, but again, these aren't long-term commit. Like, if you can't do that, like, you're the Pirates then. And you might as well
Well,
go
let's
home,
find out what we
and
are.
you might as well
We've been
close
the
the
Pirates
stadium,
for
right?
20 years, right? Like, so wait, I'm
I mean, the
trying to
Pirates
figure
are
out what we
pathetic.
are. To your point, signing David Robert,
Yeah,
put money in is
sure.
better than I've got money. I got plenty of money. I got plenty
But
of money. Hey, I'm
my
looking for
point,
investors. I got plenty of money, but I'm looking for
here
investors.
is signing David Robertson is not the same thing as what you're going to have to do with Gunnar Henderson and what you're going to have to, or even what you're going to have to do at the trade deadline to go get an ace, right? I mean, and look, it's not even necessarily about money. You could go out there and you could acquire Sandy Alcantara from Miami, who looks fantastic this spring, coming off of, being further removed from Tommy John. And I mean, he might be the guy. It sounds like the Marlins probably are a little more apt to wait to the trade deadline. The Orioles have the prospects to go get him, and he signed through, I think, next season, and there's a club option for 27. Go look at the numbers. He's not going to be making crazy money. I think it was a 5-year, $56 million deal he signed a few years back. But the prospect capital that you're going to have to give up there. So,
Which
but
they have for the first time ever.
sure, which
We
they
can
have it.
talk out loud about them making deals in a way that Mr. Rubenstein doesn't know this. Mike
Sure. Well,
Elias probably
I
knows
want to
this,
go,
but
but I
our
want to go back.
audience should know this, that we've
Look.
never been able to speak about the team in real terms after a terrible weekend for injuries. They lost their number two starter. They lost their number one bullpen guy, right, by money, right? Like, literally. But Bautista, all things aside, and I mean, there's so many question marks about this going in that it's exciting, but it's also exciting that they have prospects and they have money. Now, what are they going to do with it? What
Sure.
are they going to turn that into something in October that can win a championship other than thinking you're going to win 11 to 10 every night?
Well, and look, their offense is going to be really important to, and that's where we go back to last October. They had Corbin Burns, and he pitched like an ace should pitch in a game one of a series, and they lost because they didn't score any runs, right? So that's obviously a
And he
big,
hits.
that's a big part of this. And it's funny that we've gotten this deep into the conversation. We haven't yet mentioned, well, I mean, Gunnar Henderson may not be ready for opening day,
No,
although.
don't tell you. That's tomorrow. Let's talk about that
Right,
tomorrow.
right.
It's
And
not today.
again, that's not sounding. If he has to miss the first week of the season, that's not the end of the world. It's way better that he does that and he's right rather than shoehorn him into the opening day lineup and he's dealing with an intercostal issue all year long. But that's where I looked at this thing and I say, look, I delivering another starting pitcher that's really going to move the needle and isn't just another guy that's comparable to what they have at the back of the rotation now. Meaning, a Kyle Gibson or a Lance Lynn. I mean, they're not guys that you're signing that to say, oh, he's going to start game one for us or game two for us. Those are guys that are filling out the back end of the rotation. And look, there may come a time where they need that. But what I'm talking about here in terms of addressing the upside question that they had, even with Grayson Rodriguez, and now not knowing, is Grayson Rodriguez going to be out until mid-April or is Is it going to be out all year? We don't know, right? I mean, we don't know. It's some circumstances here where I don't think they know for sure right now. They're hoping the cortisone does the trick, right? So if it doesn't, that long-term question as far as a number two or a number two starter, I can't sit here and say that they can solve that very easily right now. But what you can solve is fortifying your bullpen because there are some options that you can sign right now. If ownership and your organization can't handle adding that on a short-term commitment, then yeah, I have grave concerns about the long-term health of the franchise and ownership's willingness. And to go back to one thing that you mentioned about David Rubenstein, look, if he doesn't know a whole lot about baseball, but he trusts his baseball people and he understands to if what Mike Elias and Sig Meidel and their brain trust suggests, and he's supportive of that, then he doesn't need to know about baseball. I'd rather have that scenario than someone who thinks he knows baseball and he starts to meddle and overrule his baseball people, which we saw that happen on a number of occasions with
But
Peter
I think
Angelos.
when it's
But
millions of dollars and it's billionaires and they get together with Katie Griggs, who knows a little bit about baseball and payrolls in
right.
Seattle and operating this kind of market, and the early reports aren't hers. She's got a lot more going on than Sashi Brown does, just from the inside. But I would say this on Katie Griggs. She gets together with Mike Elias and Rubenstein. They all get in a meeting and they have their first kumbaya ever, right? None of them know each other. They don't really trust each other, but they're trying to figure this out. This is all a new thing for them, for all of them, right? And they're dealing with Moneybags, who's an ego guy, and he's going to have a bobblehead this year because the owner needs a bobblehead, right? So, nonetheless, this is what they're dealing with there. Now, is the payroll how much? 150, 160, 170? We can go to 180. Where's the elasticity? Where's the next 4 or 5 years on the EBITDA? And like all of the money that they're going to talk about and say, what are our expectations of revenues and expenditures? That's a basic business. And when you start saying, well, my guy went down and it's going to cost $10 million to replace him, And we're already sort of on the hook for 15 to 20 million overage. We've already spent more than we thought because when Mike came to us last July when we bought the team, we thought the payroll would, make a step from 60 million to 110 this year. Well, we're already at 135, and you want to add more. And hey, Katie, how are sales going? Oh, I don't know. TJ Brightman and Greg Bader ran this joint, and the upper deck was empty last year. And like, I don't know. Where's revenue? Oh, Masson. Oh, there ain't no more Masson. Oh, well, how's revenue do? Oh, how much are we going to lose this year? Well,
Then I
that
mean, if that's
becomes.
the thing, they should just go home then, because then there is no hope, right? I mean, their payroll's at $160 million. Go look at their payroll commitment for next year. It's next to nothing. Now, granted, it's a lot of players that are pre-arbitration or arbitration players, but the point is, and I know you're presenting the case, and you're presenting what they do have to talk about. That's reality from a business and financial standpoint. But if adding an $8 million player on March 12th is that prohibitive to where they are as a franchise, then boy, I don't have much optimism for the future. I mean, I just don't. So that's where I
That
look at
being
the.
said, how many franchises in baseball readily add $8 million relief pitchers in March? Nobody else, because nobody else has added him, right? So, like, from that perspective of how many teams are just throwing $8 million around in this economy, how many teams can do that financially, knowing that
I think they all can. They all
every one of
can.
them has a financial situation, given debt, given media, given just baseball's teetering a little bit on whether it's going to make another step up in a revenue realm. I don't know where their next basis of revenue isn't going to Apple and Amazon and getting money falling off a tree the way the NFL is, because I had Jim Williams on doing 45 minutes of this with me 2 weeks ago. I would encourage anyone to go listen to that piece. He knows a whole lot more than me. And that's where I learn, honestly. And it's probably where you learn too, going to people who know more about this. But this Masson mess and the Sinclair buddies over here in Hunt Valley, who've taken a dozen franchises and the San Diegos and the Cincinnati's and these teams don't know where they're going. They don't know where their revenue's coming from. It's going to get passed to the fans on streaming, and I don't know how that's going to go down. And I don't know how many fans there are and how and where the financial wherewithal is when the fans are saying charge us less and we'll come more, right? And they're like, okay, we'll give you $5 beers, come on out. I don't know how that equates to more than 9,000 people being out there 3 weeks from now on the third game of the year, because that's just kind of the way it's been. And I don't know that that's going to change. And I don't know where that revenue's coming from. And that's why when you start adding $9 million this and $14 million that, and Mullins is up for arbitration, and here we go with Gunner, and, are we going to sign this guy? Are we going to sign that guy? I don't know where the elasticity is for their payroll in regard to whether Moneybags is going to be a 50 million over cap guy every year and just put a lot of money in because he's 74 years old and really wants to have some fun, or whether he's going to get the thing that made him a billionaire, which is the glasses that go like this, and he's going to look at the line items and say, this is out of hand. This is a crazy business. Because, dude, it's a crazy business. He paid $1.8 billion for something that's mystery, smoke and dust, and he's gone out to his rich buddies to try to get investment. Nobody's real quick to come in and be a 1% partner with Mr. Rubenstein and get $50 million to own box seats, essentially, to go chase $8 million relief pitch. It's a crazy business, Luke. I mean, it's a crazy business. That's what I'm saying right here, right now, is that how much is enough, how much is going to be too much, and how much is going to be, we gave Sir Anthony $8 million, let him go pitch for a while, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way, you make me feel like there's no hope for the future. I mean, honestly, I mean, it really, really does,
The hope
because
is
these
that
aren't
your
long,
mother
because this
gets
isn't a
back into
long-term
this and
commitment.
starts giving them money. The hope is the kids
Sure,
start getting, they need people to start giving them money at some point. Because I'm telling you, their revenue streams are drying up in regard to regional sports networks and them just waking up with $60 million of local media revenue to go fund. $60 million is barely going to buy Gunnar Henderson 4 years from now. Like, it's
okay.
going to buy one player. And I'm telling you, in this market, they need more people like me to come give them money so they can do all of this, because I'm with you. They need to sign Rob. They need to sign a relief pitcher.
I
I'm
mean,
100% on the
I
baseball
don't
side.
know. And I'm deferring to you're more business savvy than I am. I mean, if an $8 million contract is that prohibitive, then
When you've already got $150 million out, it
I
starts to
understand,
become like, what did we talk? This
but
is
we also
me
have to
and
remember
this is
when you
Katie
look at
Griggs and Michael Eisen. What did we talk about last year when we go into ownership?
right,
What was the
but
number? Was it 180, 170, 190,
but they have
210?
nothing committed beyond this year. Go seriously, go you go look at their what their 2026 payroll commitment is now. It's nothing. Like it's
Then
nothing.
that would
So
say to me that they've got $40 million worth of elasticity to go make their pitching better, because their hitting's pretty good if Gunnar's okay, right? Like
sure.
that we're going to be talking about not their pitching the rest of the season, Luke. We're going to be talking about their money and their level of commitment to give up prospects, which is money in the future, cheap labor in the future, right? We're going to be talking about their philosophy, because, and I'm not being a dick, they've not had a philosophy. They had a
They
creepy,
haven't had it
weird
for
owner and his creepy, weird
goes back
kid
longer than that.
that
It's
were
been 40 years.
squeezing everything and taking tons of money out of the team. John Angelos was siphoning money out of this team at the end with a $58 million payroll and boo-hoo and Chris Davis's money and signing nothing. So they had the wherewithal to spend more money. He took all that money with him and then sold the thing for $1.8 billion. He had walk-off grand slam, as I've said many, many times. Now, Mr. Moneybags is out for a huge amount of debt at $1.8 billion, looking for partners to get into this thing since the minute he got into it. That's why he did all those television hits last year. And, he likes to say he's loaded, 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 rich in this and number five in that, and just got thrown out of the game. Like, it shouldn't matter. You're right. As a guy on a farm in Pennsylvania who loves baseball, and a guy from Dundalk who's living on half a farm in Towson who loves baseball, it shouldn't matter to us. He should just be a billionaire. I've sat here for 34 years, and they pinched every penny, every paperclip, mismanaged everything forever. I'm giving Katie Griggs and Mike Elias and Don Kovacs and Mark Fine and David Rubenstein the benefit of the doubt that things are different here. If things are different here, to your point, you're making all the right points. You got no money committed next year. You got a team good enough to win this year. Go get some pitching, dude. Go get, like, everything we talked about. I let you ramble the first 15 minutes. Go do all of that, because that's how you're going to win. We're not going to win with, no offense to Cade Povich, I don't think he's going to be the number two starter that's going to be like taking Grayson's innings here and running with a 2.8 ERA over 32 starts. So I watched a lot of baseball. None of that would make any sense to Mr. Rubenstein, by the way, right? It would make sense to Katie Griggs. It would make sense to Mike Elias. But when you have to go in and say, last summer, Mr. Rubenstein, I told you 160 would be plenty of money, and now 160 is 195, and he turns to Katie and Don and says, have we sold any more? Where's the revenue? How we doing? No massing, and we just got here. It's new. It's all new. Budgets are being cut, and Trump not only threw you out of the Kennedy Center, but he's kind of crippled 5.3% of the federal workforce, which 5.3% of our state's federal workforce here in the corridor. And these are baseball. They're all, kind of people that would maybe come to a baseball game that they don't have jobs. So, but gas is cheap. So, as long as we're not serving eggs, they don't serve omelets at the games. So, I mean, there is a geopolitical thing going on here. There's a rich guy who's got a team. He wants to impress everybody. But there's also they have budget meetings over there. And I don't think they looked at this and said, we're going to take payroll from, what was it last year? In the 60s? Where was it last year?
It was no, it's way higher than that. It last year, let me pull it up. It was not
Maybe I'm going back to
opening day
22 or
pay
something like that.
opening day payroll last year was at 92.9
And it's going to
per
be a $1.58 this year. Where are we right now?
it yeah it was according to Kotz at 160. So
Okay.
and keep in mind
That's
that was their
60
open.
million
Keep in
dollars,
mind,
dude.
that was her opening day payroll. They took on payroll at the trade deadline
Well, this
too.
would tell you how much
So
money John was siphoning out of the team. Whatever the Masson revenue was, it's less.
right.
Whatever Mr. Rubenstein had to pay, and he had to pay the bill, dude. I mean, the learners just didn't walk away from $300 million. They just didn't. and Major League Baseball funded them
Sure.
15 years ago. And I mean, there's so many, and these weren't $8 million relief pitching deals. These were hundreds of millions of dollars that went back and forth that Rubenstein paid quietly when that press release was released last Monday. That press release did not say what the terms were. The terms are Mr. Moneybags reached in and paid money to Lerner to make it end. That's how that worked. That didn't work the other
I
way.
didn't say it didn't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it worked. I'll find out because I find out everything. And I'll report it when I know. I'll be the only one reporting it when I know. There's only so much money, Luke. I don't mean to be a dick and I don't mean to be a
I
downer.
mean,
When you start losing pitchers,
I
two
just think.
starters, number one relievers, and we're just going to like pop up and give m real money.
That's not real money though, Nestor. Eight million
Okay.
dollars is it, if
It's
that's
real
true.
money once you've got to 160.
Well,
Once you went from 90 to 160, 170, 180, 190, 200, I don't know.
on a one-year commitment though,
Rightfully questioning what their threshold is. That's
I mean,
all I'm doing in this
that's
segment.
fine.
That's it.
I'm just saying, you presenting that makes me have way less optimism about the future of this franchise then. If this is the best they can do, then they are the Pirates. They're better than the Pirates because the Pirates, I think the biggest deal they've given out is what,
I do
$17
think
million
there's a
to a free
limit here,
agent?
Luke. I
Oh,
mean, unless he's the
I
guy in
understand that,
San
but
Diego who just like.
I understand you're saying there's a limit. I agree with that, but I don't think an $8 million contract to a reliever is the best example of saying that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, if David Robertson was 6 years younger and wanted a 3 or 4 year deal, then that's a way different discussion. Right. But, you know, if you can't, you know, it's the old adage, there's no such thing as a bad 1 year contract. Well, if that's the case here, then boy, I'm not optimistic for the future then. So, you know, you know, that's where I go back to keep in mind, like Andrew Kittredge, they signed as a pivot because they were going to give Jeff Hoffman a 3 year deal. I think the reported, you know, they've never confirmed this, but the reporting that was out there, I think was somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years, 40 to a reliever who was better than Andrew Kittredge. But the point is that right there should lend one to believe that there is some more meat on the bone here that they can spend more in 2025, understanding, yeah, everything you said is right. I'm not disagreeing with your sentiments in terms of what is the ceiling, not for 2025, but for 26. What's the 5 year plan? Where does TV fit into this? Where does revenue created by the fact that they're going to have $600 million to renovate Oriole Park at Camden Yards? There is a lot of projecting that has to go on here in terms of revenue. You're 1,000% spot on there,
Well, I think the
but
number one thing they could do is go play in a World Series and get the
sure.
win the
Well,
city over,
and that's
right?
where you look at
Winning the
this thing,
city over, if that's about $8 million when you
right?
spend $1.8 billion,
Then you have no hope,
I
right?
hear you, but
Yeah. So
we've lived
yeah.
in Eastern Europe in the blockade here the last 30 years with the Angelos family, where nothing ever made any sense. Like not, you know what I mean? Like they let you in, they didn't let me in. That never made they nothing they did ever made any sense except. It was always about how much money. If you followed the money with the Angelos people,
I mean, it was
then.
in the early years, it wasn't. But you
But that
know,
was 30 years
once
ago, dude. You were a
exact.
young man.
Well, I know, but I'm just
And that went
saying
away quickly
that
when.
went away in the mid 2000s, and then they had Masson, which
You know what
was.
made that go away? When Mr. Angelos started losing money based on his stupidity. When he started giving money to Albert Bell and then trying to rescind contracts and suing him and like all the nonsense that he did. But all that went away when Mr. Angelos had to go into his own pockets in 2001 and 2 and 3 when the 10-year club seat, go read the Peter Principles, but 2001, 2 and 3, Mr. Angelos was reaching into his own pocket to sign David Segui, Jeff Conine, Sidney Ponson, because the revenue had dried up, Masson hadn't come. The Nationals saved his ass. The Nationals saved. He would have been gone from Major League Baseball had the Nationals not come in because there wouldn't have been enough revenue, and he would have sued himself out of baseball at that point. He would have been Al Davis at that point, but it didn't happen. They had to squeeze. They tried to put that team in San Juan. They would have loved to put that team in Vegas, but the gambling thing, like. There was a million things that could have happened, but DC baseball changed everything about Baltimore baseball. And now we're trying to figure out how that's going to be different. right? Like it's been 21 years I've been talking about that. And now we're trying to figure out how it's going to be different. And this thing's going to have to stand on its own. And I don't want to say I'm skeptical. I got a lot of
You sound
questions.
very skeptical,
I got a lot.
and
Well, I
that's
have a lot
fine.
of questions
It's fair.
about
That's
how a
fair.
small market team that has bruised and battered everyone in the community for 30 years, that doesn't have Forbes 500 companies here to just fork over money for sponsorships. This isn't, Silicon Valley. It's not. And it's not Washington,
Agreed.
D.C. And Washington, D.C. always had the federal government, the federal government, the federal government, Northrop Grumman, Northrop. And that benefited when Larry King and they were all up here being a part of this in the 90s with Cal Ripken and all that happened, 96, 97, in that range. Dude, that's 30 years ago, man.
By the
30
way,
years and
I
two
just
franchises
to
ago.
stop you for one second there, and I agree. If you make it great, you'll still get some of those people to come because you can compete with the Nationals. If you're great and
There
they
are plenty
stink.
of Angels fans that go to Dodgers games now or became Dodgers fans because they just have been,
Right.
like that's just where it's at.
And that's part of building something. You absolutely can get people to come from DC if you're a great product and you're better than what DC is. Now, it's not what it was 30 years ago, to your point, where there was no competition whatsoever. But we've talked about this with the Ravens and the Commanders, right? We've talked about how many people in would have been considered Redskins territory way back when became Ravens fans because the Ravens were great and that team was a pathetic loser with a terrible owner for two decades, a quarter century.
On the baseball side of that, we don't feel it on our side wearing orange here, but it's identical. Other than cheerleaders, being floozied around, like
Agreed.
the Orioles ownership here was every bit as terrible as Daniel Snyder. Every bit.
Agreed. I'm not disagreeing with that. But the point is, there's the potential to build, and yeah, you got to spend some money to become great. And that doesn't mean you have to be the
Well, here's the
Mets.
first
Doesn't mean you have to
test.
be the
It's
Dodgers.
March something, and they're out of two starter, they're out of one reliever, and they didn't have enough pitching to start with, and they spent a lot of money on remnant pitching, literally remnant dart pitching, and we're still back to Kincaid, Povich, and Albert Suarez give us 170 innings this year because Grayson's not.
Yeah, and that's what. But this is why I said that's not as easy to solve today as I feel the bullpen is, and that's why I said there are a couple guys out there, established guys who in the case of Robertson was really good last year. Joe Kelly has a lot of postseason experience. Go get them, go get one of them, and then that replaces Kittredge for the time being. And then in a big picture sense, once Kittredge, who should come back? It's a knee, he got his knee fixed and it's not like this catastrophic injury. Then your bullpen's even better off. And then, inevitably, if someone else goes down at some point in time, because that's the nature of the beast with pitchers, then you're in a better position. So,
This is where I
we'll
say to
see.
Mr. Rubenstein, there ain't no salary cap.
Sure. And
We don't have
again,
these arguments with Steve Bisciotti, right? We don't have these arguments with Eric DaCosta.
for all
And
this.
even on the edge of NFL free agency the next day and a half, we watch play, watch Bart Scott, just watch all these guys run out the side door.
Yeah.
Baseball different. It's a completely different conversation.
It is. And that $160 million payroll, which is markedly higher than dramatically higher than it had been the last couple of years. And look, they had nowhere to go but up because they
And
had all
probably
these.
dramatically higher than what Mr. Elias told Mr. Rubenstein a year ago this week when he bought the team. Like, how do you think we're gonna, where is the trajectory? I
Yeah.
bet Elias did not would one singing any $200 million payrolls in 2025. I bet he wasn't.
But you know what? At the same time, and Corbin Burns even did an interview recently and confirmed this, like the Orioles were absolutely in on Corbin Burns. Now, we can certainly criticize them and say, okay, they didn't get across the finish line. Trying is one thing, doing is another. But I also don't think Mike Elias is the type to just waste time, right? He might be meticulous. He might be too conservative at times, but I don't think he's someone who's just going to waste time just to make it look like you tried to sign Corbin Burns. So, if we work under that acknowledgement, then there's evidence that suggests there should be some meat on the bone here too, if you need to sign David Robertson, or you're going to still go out and get a number one or number two starter at some
Yeah, I
time.
think Charlie Morton got that money, and I think Sugano, they got that money. They got the money that would have been if Burns was getting 31 million a year, neither one of those guys would have been here.
Well,
I
they
don't
certainly
think that.
both wouldn't have been there. If ne you know, neither, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know how, so again, this is when you don't know these people and you're trying to explain it to the fans as best you can in an
It's
adult
just,
kind of way.
it's a
If
lot
I
of
sat and just
unknown.
had a basic conversation with them and say, how do you think about this? How are you going to think about this? And if they made themselves available, Mr. Rubenstein's doing a CEO event that I was banned from when Sashi Brown spoke there a few weeks ago or a few months ago, that I would go in like legitimate questions, not press box sits down with like, come on, dude, say what you're going to say, and then I'm going to hold you accountable to that because that's my job. That's what I do. That's what I've done here professionally since I was 15 years old, is I ask you what you're doing, and then I come on the radio every day of my life, all of my life, like the Truman Show, and talk about your words and then the deeds and the actions that follow. I don't know where any of that is. I have no level of trust with the new ownership yet, right? So I've tried. I am what I am. Here I am. And I'd like to know the answers to some of this so that you and I aren't arguing about it. So when people get in the car and listen to it or find us on the internet, there's some semblance of this is our commitment to the fans. Stand up and do everything that the creepy guys didn't do for 30 years, which is stand up front face, be honest. Show me the plan. Tell me how to buy in. I've got an orange closet here ready for you. But these are the moments of truth, Luke. When they start losing players and saying, how in are they? Where are they? And are they going to be playing baseball in late October here? Because at the end of the day, all the rest of this is bouja. Are you going to win the World Series here? Yes or no? That's
Well,
really the question here. Or like,
no one can say that. No one can answer that
but that's what
practically.
we're playing for here.
But that's
We're
what you're
not
playing
playing
for,
for making money. We're not
sure.
playing for getting the bigger, better deal.
Of
We're not
course.
playing for flipping the team for $3.9 billion 4 years from now when it feels nice and the economy comes back and Trump doesn't lead us into World War III. Like, Rubenstein's 74 years old. I'd really like to sit with him and get a real eye to eye on what the plan is here because I keep reading all of this. I don't believe any of it. It's all staged to me. I mean, it is. I mean, like all of these interviews are staged. If they weren't staged, I'd have one by now. And I'd say, what do you know about this? What do you think about that? Where are we going to go with that? If they're not willing to do that for the fan base, for you as a real media member, or me as a dude standing out here trying to figure it out so we could better explain it, it will be explained much like Eric DaCosta's draft, intentions on draft night. And it will be explained when they do or do not commit $8 or $10 million to another pitcher when they do or do not sign Gunnar Henderson down the line or Adley, whoever it's going to be. We're going to see how this thing blossoms out, but I'd at least like to know their vision for it. And I don't know it. They've been in here a year. They've owned the team a year now. They got bobbleheads, they got
I mean,
commercials, they're out smart CEO clubbing and all that. I really don't know what the plan is. I really don't, like,
I guess, and I've heard you say this multiple times, and I understand where you're coming from, but I don't know what you expect them to say publicly. What team out there says we're going to have X payroll this year, we're going to have X payroll or Y payroll next year, and we're going to have Z payroll
well, if you're
the
going to say
following
I'm
year?
a wealthy guy and payroll's no issue, which he's kind of said a couple of times, then it's just
Well,
cash and carry. We just go get the
then the
best
proof is going to
player.
be in the pudding. But
Yeah.
no one goes out there and says specific, explicitly states what their payroll is going to be. You'd be negotiating against yourself for players then. So I don't expect that. I like transparency as much as anyone, but I think the reality is there is a unknown to this. So that being said, that doesn't mean you can't spend any money. And again, I'll call bull hockey on not being able to add $8 million on a 1 year commitment for any team being able to do that. Any
How
team. And
many of those are you
but
talking about
sure.
the next 4 months, though? How
Well,
many more $8 million am I going to go to Mr. Rubenstein for
I mean,
to get
there's
for?
not that many, but not that many teams spend money in season because you're not going to have that many free agents that are available. I mean, even when you make a trade in season, generally speaking, you're swapping some payroll that will offset some of the cost, right? I mean, it's, unless it's just a pure salary dump, which, Zach Eflin wasn't a pure salary dump, but They took on
They,
salary.
Mr. Rubenstein, I'll say this: if you're listening, they've taken on money. I mean,
They have been. They
I and
have.
that's my point to
Sure,
you
and I
is
understand
I'm in
that.
here saying, if I'm Mr. Rubenstein, dude, I've already given. We've gone from where? From 90 to 160. Like, hold on here. Maybe we should try to play with what we have, especially if I didn't understand baseball. You know what I mean? Like $8 million for a relief pitcher. How many innings? You know what? I wonder what that conversation looked like last April, what it looked like in August after Eflin came on, what it looks like in December when Katie Griggs is onboarded, what it looks like in March when Don Kovacs has been here 3 months and has called around and said, "How much more money are you going to give me?" And everybody said, "None." You didn't even want to play, you haven't won a playoff game in 12 years here. Like, we'll see you at the ballpark, but I ain't giving you any more money. And like, so I don't know where their revenue is coming from to offset this, because I still think they're a business, Luke. I don't think in terms of little boy, we're going to deal baseball cards here. That $8 million to a team that's already added $60 million in the offseason, I just think there is a point where all of these teams, maybe not in the early going because Mr. Rubenstein's in the honeymoon period, where all of these teams just, maybe he is just wildly at the club making it rain. I don't know. I mean, if that's the case, good. We'll have a better chance to win, because it's going to take that. It's not going to take me being sensible. It's going to take them being like, let's go all in. We got to win the World Series. If we do that, the team will be worth $4 billion, and next year we'll increase pay, we'll increase attendance by 14%, and they'll have all of those metrics that they like so much. But all of that's predicated on them being really good, because they can't just be okay. Okay won't do it here. I mean, they won't get anybody's attention if they're just
Okay
okay.
doesn't do it most places. I
Yeah.
mean, it might for a year or two when you've been really, really, really bad. But yeah, that's
Dude,
kind of where
right
the
now their
Orioles are right now.
pitching's okay in the American League East. It's okay.
I don't disagree with that. I guess for me, to the point that you just made, I guess my hope is if you truly are in an all-in scenario, that your threshold is higher than $160 million, then that's my point. So for me, then the thought is, okay, your Mike Elias talked with ownership and said, all right, we're kind of thinking, our vision for 2025's payroll is $160 million, but what about a rainy day fund? This would be tapping into rainy day where you say, all right,
It's already raining and it's March 10th.
sure, but that's
That's my
but
point. That was
well,
my point.
and my point is, this is where you let it play out with Grayson Rodriguez. You look at Cade Povich. You look at Albert Suarez. You have, Trevor Rogers will be back at some point. Chase McDermott will be back. Like, you have Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells maybe in July and August and September. So you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily in a position where you must acquire your number one starter on March 15th. But what is cheaper and easier to do than that is to fortify your bullpen right now, because you do know that Andrew Kittredge is gone until June. So
Oh,
that's
no
the
matter who
gist of
they are, they're going to need another $8 million reliever on
or
October the 17th
8
if they
million
make
for
it that far.
something. And that's my point. And look, everything you said is I'm not pushing back on you presenting that. I would push back on, man, if they really are at their limit already, then forget about, they're not going to be able to sign re-sign anyone
I'm
then.
just
So,
saying
yeah.
their expenses
Sure,
are
I
going
got
to
you.
grow much more fast than their
Absolutely.
revenue streams are. And I'm sure they knew that going in. I just know sometimes you go in and you buy a house and you find out that it's got termites
And you need a
you
roof,
know,
and yeah.
like the billion
Yeah.
eight was the billion eight. And now
Sure.
there's the 400 million coming from the state, and we're going to do this and that. And then the Masson deal and like how much that cost Mr. Rubenstein. And then the pay, I'm just,
I got you.
he's into a beach house here, and they're in there painting it, and they're telling him about things that are going to need to be done, and we'll see whether he does it or not. Enough of this. I should be in Florida sunning myself right now, laughing at you about Ronnie Stanley signing a 3-year, $60 million contract. Luke is Baltimore Luke. He is Luke Jones. I'm giving him a hard time here today because I'm the guy wearing the green colored glasses and looking over the spreadsheets here of the Orioles right now, and just trying to figure out what they are, and because
Sure.
I want them to win 10 World Series. I want baseball to matter again. I want them to be nice. I want to come back to the ballpark and be into it. I've told everyone that, everyone in their management that. So here I am. We're going to be in Toronto, and I'm going to have my Canadian hat on. I had Rick Emmett on. I'm inviting all good Canadians on. I'm trying to find some hockey players around here. Gene Ubriaco is Canadian, but from the Sioux, right across the border, the Upper Peninsula. So I'm going to have Gene Ubriaco come in, and we're going to talk about Canada. I might even sing "O Canada." And if Geddy Lee comes on, I'm going to sing something. He's got a baseball book coming out. But Rick Emmett, if I can't, I told Rick Emmett this without insulting him. I'm like, if I can't get Geddy, I got you. So Rick Emmett from Triumph's on this week talking about his new book, 10 Telecaster Tales. And we did a lot of baseball because Emmett's a baseball guy. So we really did a little rock and jock. I may be reaching to some of my rock and jock buddies. John Palumbo from Crack the Sky was here this week as well. Friday, we're going to be at CVP, Charles Village Pub in Towson. We're going to be doing the show, Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the lucky magic 8-ball scratch-offs to give away. Hopefully Towson's in. Go Tigers. If you're hearing this on Wednesday and somehow they got eliminated, my God, please no. If they didn't, come join us on Friday and join for the madness on Sunday of bracketology. It is March Madness. And I must say, for my lottery friends, it is Gambling Awareness Month. John Martin has joined us this month. He gave me a pop quiz on the show this week to try to embarrass me, try to give me the wrong answers for the pop quiz, but I got 5 out of 6 of them right, and I think the one I kind of half got right. So at least I'm not an idiot. But be careful, gamble responsibly. We talk about gambling in baseball and football and basketball and all that stuff. 1-800-GAMBLERS available for you if you or anyone has a problem. He is Luke. I am Nestor. Plenty of football ahead. Ronnie Stanley. What are we going to do next? Oh, it's draft and opening day. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.